the preface entitled The Mission of St. Joseph, just a few words of that. For this just man was given by you as spouse to the Virgin Mother of God, and set as a wise and faithful servant in charge of your household, to watch like a father over your only begotten Son, who was conceived by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to speak a little bit about just masculinity and theme of our understanding of St. Joseph. The feast of St. Joseph provides us with an opportunity to reflect on what it means to be a father. I never offer a Mass without mentioning Joseph by name. I'm most attractive to Joseph at a time when our culture is often ambiguous and at a loss to claim a strong masculine identity. The silence of scriptures mirrors the silence of my own father. He was an ordinary working man, not given to philosophical speculation, but he was a great and loving father. I'll always remember him on the sidelines of one of my numerous basketball games or baseball games when I was growing up. An immigrant from Ireland, he didn't know all the fine points of American sports. But there he was, smiling, quietly knowing that some good things were happening for his kids. He wanted to be a part of that. In my own journey toward maleness, there are three stages I'd like to mention. When I was young, masculinity was a boisterous, rough, dominant, and aggressive sort of thing. Our culture offered us the John Waynes, the Lone Ranger of early radio fame. And so for my generation, the first step toward a real or whole maleness was to move toward balance, to integrate the feminine or the feeling side of one's personality. The psychologist Carl Jung has much to say about the one-dimensional dominant personality and the need to move beyond controlling others to integrate the feminine side. You just cannot be a whole person without claiming those parts of life that render you sensitive, vulnerable. The next big step for me came as I discovered the need to deal with my own woundedness. The celibate life of a priest or religious can be most destructive unless one can identify one's deepest inner needs and learn how to name such emptiness, and then cultivate the friendships that lead towards sanity and a rich emotional life. I had a very strong mother, so I've always found myself attracted to the strong opinions and emotional support of strong feminine friends. Because I value celibacy, these are not always intimate friendships, but strong nevertheless. Sometimes you need some feedback that only a strong woman can offer. Here, I think of Joseph, not the plaster statue Joseph with the lily, but Joseph the carpenter, dust, sweat, wood chips, trying to bring along this highly idealistic son of his and introduce him to some of the practical realities of being a successful carpenter and human being. I see Joseph's personal creativeness, his generativity, if you will, as giving Jesus a very good start. Jesus gave Joseph and Mary enough to think about after his absence from the homebound caravan and his exchange with the actual priests of the temple. They pondered these mysteries in their hearts, as well we all must do for people in our care. A big part of this second stage of growth in the masculine is confronting or just naming our own woundedness. We all need forgiveness and healing to cope with our worst fears and deplorable behavior. But this is often a really creative area, a wonderful starting place as we're able to recognize our own weakness and the need to be forgiven and to forgive others. We can become a person who's able to understand and forgive others, but most of all, to really be present to them in their suffering. I think that this is the basis of any sort of true friendship. A third challenge to masculine identity arises out of our present-day controversies over homosexual rights and a whole new definition of marriage that, along with recent pedophile reports has served to blindside and silence our Christian conversation on these matters. Oh, there are some beautiful, compassionate voices that have been raised, but overall the church and even our broader culture, we're discovering, just didn't seem ready for this controversy. We're forced to rethink our position in such matters, certainly. We must have a great understanding and compassion for the victims, the abused young, or more commonly, the homosexual exploitation of young adults. Such behavior is rightly condemned by everyone. But what would Joseph say about homosexual marriage? Well, here I'm looking at what I consider, or want to consider, a centrist opinion, one that carries our tradition forward into the future, but does not capitulate to the anything goes that is so popular at the moment. I would not diminish the notion of marriage by letting it be used for any sort of sexual union or accommodation. People will have to find their own best level of behavior, and people deserve respect, but not necessarily approval for every sort of behavior under the umbrella of their civil rights or so-called self-realization. Our Dominican parishes have always been most accepting to the dignity of individual choices, people doing the very best that they can. But in this climate, I want to stand up for marriage more than ever. I want to encourage people to approach it with care, reverence, and lifelong commitment. I hope for children who are lovingly planned for and cherished as they grow. Certainly, there are always exceptions in loving parenting and care of persons in need, and I want to see the church in the forefront of such outreach and care. And I'm happy to say that on the parish level, this is often the case. Which brings me back to my dear friend and our patron, Joseph. In my early years as a priest, we had a very rigid archbishop, and when there was a tough choice that would come, we'd say to him, I just did what Jesus would do. And his response would be, oh no, not that. Well, as we move into the future and explore these issues, it would be good to reflect on and do what Joseph would do, to call on that intuition I've cultivated all through the years. What response would our very best tradition of Catholic masculinity be in these circumstances? St. Joseph, inspire and accompany us as we seek to live out the fullness of being a man, a father, in these challenging times.